Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me on the phone, very, very happy to have Garrett Stevens with us, who is from the Monroe Institute. Now, Garrett, you are an outreach trainer with the Monroe Institute. I have been talking about the Monroe Institute on this program for months, ever since I learned about the hemi-sync type of meditation. And I would love to know how you got hooked up with the Monroe Institute and why hemi-sync is such an important part of your life.
Thanks, Jen. Pleased to be with you.
Thank you.
So that becomes a rather long story, but I'll kind of start with a short version. We can dive into further detail on whatever parts interest you and your viewers most. But I first started attending programs at TMI listening to hemi-sync in 2010. I had had a spontaneous out-of-body experience while spending time in a flotation tank here in Los Angeles, and wanted to replicate that experience. Mm-hmm. And through doing a lot of Googling and searching, I kind of came upon two names. One was a guy named William Buhlman, mm-hmm. Who was kind of a current living author and expert on the out-of-body experience. And the second guy was by the name of Robert Monroe, who passed away in 1994, I believe, mm-hmm. And wrote three books on the out-of-body experience, and is actually credited with coining the term. And he also founded the institute that bears his name and created the audio guidance technology known as hemi-sync, which is very useful in facilitating these expanded states of consciousness, including the out-of-body state. So I got my start in 2010. Took a few courses at the Institute and started actually training on my own through the Institute as an outreach trainer in 2015. Mm-hmm. And then in 2017, through just kind of a serendipitous course of events, I actually became the owner of hemi-sync, which is the company. So I acquired hemi-sync in 2017, March, I believe. And so lots of people actually don't even know the difference between hemi-sync and TMI, Monroe Institute.
So let's discern the difference for the listener, if you don't mind, Garrett, of what hemi-sync. Now, for myself, I know because I was gifted a couple of CDs of hemi-sync, and I noticed a huge difference. Yes, Marla Freese, who introduced us, a wonderful mm-hmm. intuitive. She had an incredible experience at the Monroe Institute, which was founded in the 80s, for the listeners who don't know. Lots of research to help with soldiers who were coping with PTSD and all sorts of other things, and found that this type of meditation, as we say, there's a lot of meditations out there, but what the hemi-sync technology does is it communicates the right side and the left side of the brain, where there's a tone on one side, a tone on the other, and then the third is formed by these two sides trying to speak to each other. Is that a good way of trying to explain this?
That actually is, Jen.
Okay.
Thanks for that. And so that concept is known as binaural beating.
Yes.
And so, you know, why is that even necessary? Well, the adult human brain can't actually hear anything under 20 to 30 hertz, depending on who you are and who you ask. And so that actually becomes unfortunate. And the reason is when we're walking around, you know, doing a radio show, going to work, socializing with friends, we are generally operating in beta. Mm-hmm. And so beta is kind of the brainwave frequency between about 14 cycles per second, or 14 hertz, and about 38 hertz. And if we're multitasking, got a lot of things to do on our to-do list, we're stressed, we have deadlines, we are probably operating in what's known as high beta, which would be the higher end of that frequency range. And that tends to not be so good. Mm-hmm. When you're in high beta, your body's sympathetic nervous system is kicking into overdrive. It goes into kind of a fight or flight response. So, you know, your body's getting injected with a lot of cortisol and adrenaline. And it's very difficult to come out of that. You know, one of the things that is popular now is what is known as mindfulness meditation, which is great. It's kind of the tip of the iceberg. But lots of folks, when they're trying to meditate or get quiet, they have a really hard time doing it.
Yes, and I was one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the benefit of the binaural beat is it's kind of like training wheels. And so you've already kind of touched on it, but let's say you have 100 hertz frequency in your left ear and then 104 hertz in your right ear. Your brain automatically makes a third frequency, which is the difference between those two. So in the case of 100 hertz and 104 hertz, your brain would make a 4 hertz frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And that you kind of hear it as a vibrato that actually isn't on in the soundtrack. And so you're kind of tricking your brain into hearing something under 20 hertz, which it physically can't process. And so now, with the binaural beat, you can induce different states of consciousness. So for instance, if you were at work and you wanted to work productively, but in kind of a focused, calm, relaxed way, not in a stressed out, you know, potentially harmful way, you could feed yourself binaural beats in the, you know, 14 to 20 hertz range, so kind of low beta. If you wanted to relax, you could feed yourself a binaural beat in sort of the 7 to 14 hertz range, which is known as alpha.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to meditate, you could go into theta, which is roughly the 4 to 7 or 8 hertz range. And then if you wanted to sleep, you can go into delta, which is about half a hertz up to about 4 hertz.
And you have all of these different options on your website, which, by the way, I want to put out there in case people don't know how to spell HemiSync, HemiSync. And there's a dash between .com, and there's a lot of options there, like everything you're mentioning here, from calm to sleep to alertness to intuitive abilities. All of these different categories are addressed by these different waves that you're discussing.
That's right. And so the difference between HemiSync and sort of the binaural beats that you might find in the App Store for free or on YouTube for free is that HemiSync is it's like a binaural beat sandwich. They are complex, multi-layered recipes of binaural beats that correspond to specific states of consciousness. And so Bob Monroe kind of created these recipes and mapped them out some time ago, and we've kind of tweaked them a little bit over the years, but for the most part, they are still his original recipes. And so when I talk about a sandwich, so for instance, if we were going to play you a meditation track, it wouldn't just be theta. It would be combinations of binaural beats and specific ratios to each other that we have found to be effective in clinical and lab settings over, you know, hundreds or in some cases even thousands of trials.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is kind of what we apply to service the various real-life application categories that we serve. And generally those are sleep, relaxation, wellness, creativity, manifestation, and meditation.
Let me ask you this, Garrett. There's so many people out there that are hurting and they're suffering. And in 8 minutes, I noticed an incredible difference for me, you know, with this kind mm-hmm. of technology. And like you mentioned earlier, the regular meditating, mindfulness, all that, blah, blah, blah. So sorry, but it wasn't doing the trick. And what this did for me was it took my brain and said, hey, listen to this now. And it was a code that my brain could recognize as whatever was happening. Then my brain tried to communicate with the other side. This is science. Yeah. So for people who want to hang their hat on the meditation is woo-woo and blah, 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 I don't know what it's going to take except for that I want to take people by the coattails and just say, listen, this is really working. You guys have thousands of studies from the Monroe Institute and all of the research that Bob Monroe did for all those decades and all the people that have gone down to the Monroe Institute. And as you know, Garrett, now from owning HemiSync, this technology is not only helping kids with ADD and anxiety, it's helping people with trauma. It's rewiring neurons. So if a PTSD situation happened or someone who went through severe grief, loss, trauma, they can actually get to bliss, can't they?
Yeah, there was actually a study that was done just a couple of years ago that was funded by Walter Reed Army Medical Center that focused on treating vets with PTSD using HemiSync. Mm-hmm. It was a HemiSync track known as Dreamland, and it produced statistically significant positive results on all four factors that were measured. And the abstract for that study is, again, on our website. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so HemiSync produces a relaxed, focused state of consciousness, which is kind of what you were alluding to. It kind of takes your consciousness, which might typically act like a diffuse light, and focuses it like a laser beam. So you talked about TMI. Some of the folks that have come to TMI over the years have been monks, you know, Buddhist monks, Zen monks. And lots of them say, you know, I wish I'd known about this earlier, because to achieve states of consciousness that might take, you know, years of sitting on a cushion, you can achieve in 8 minutes. Most people will achieve what we call entrainment within, say, 10 minutes. So your 8-minute mark sounds like it's right on the mark.
So for you, did you replicate that out-of-body experience that you were hoping for when you went back on this HemiSync path?
So I was able to replicate the experience. I've done it with and without using HemiSync. I think the very first time I used HemiSync, my reaction to it, one of the states that we produce in the meditation tracks is we either take you to or through a state known as the mind awake, body asleep state. Mm-hmm. And so in this state, your mind is bright and alert, it's focused, and your body has kind of gone asleep, so you sort of lose the sensation of it. Now, if it's your first time kind of experiencing this, or if you're tired, it's very easy for that mind awake, body asleep state to turn into either a body asleep, mind asleep state, or a state where you're really kind of, you know, hanging on, trying to maintain lucidity. And so the first time that I used HemiSync, it actually reminded me of something I had read in various Buddhist texts, which refer to what's called the bardo. Mm-hmm. The bardo is kind of this transitional state that you go into after death. You know, that's what it kind of felt to me like, even though, you know, I don't have any conscious memory of having gone through that, really, at least not at that time. But that was kind of what it felt like to me. I was like, oh, this is the bardo.
I've been knocked out before, where I literally wake up 45 minutes later. Is that common too?
Yeah. That is very common. Mm-hmm. And it can kind of come in two forms. You know, one is when you actually do just go to sleep. And, you know, that does happen. We should accept that. It's probably what our body needs at that particular point in time. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a phenomenon known as clicking out. And so clicking out feels a bit different. In that situation, it's more like you come out of it, you realize that time has passed, but you don't have any memory of what happened.
That's more like what happens with me, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you might have some sense that something was happening, but you just can't quite place it. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing as we go into these expanded states of awareness is we are learning to sense and perceive with faculties beyond our five physical senses. And so we start to perceive in intuitive flashes, in colors. We might hear sounds, kind of depending on what our own personal predilections and capacities are. We might get information in the form of these, you know, thought balls that they're just packed with information. They're very dense, and they're very tough for kind of the conscious working mind to unravel. We just kind of have to take it in sort of a different way than we're used to receiving information.
Yeah.
And so as we start to go into these expanded states of awareness and sense with faculties beyond our five physical senses, it's kind of like there's this download issue that happens as we come out of it. These extrasensory perceptions, they don't sync up with our conscious brain quite yet. And so that's kind of what creates the phenomenon that we call clicking out.
So if I am noticing that, oh gosh, I wonder where my keys are. And then poof, I'll get a thought of exactly where my keys are. This is the kind of stuff I've been noticing since I've been doing the Hemi Sync. I'll think about somebody and boom, they call. Is that common? Yeah. Do you hear that feedback a lot?
Yeah, so that would be like an intuitive flash, which was one of the ways of sensing that I was talking about.
Right.
And kind of the second thing you mentioned there, where someone all of a sudden calls out of the blue and you maybe had some intention for that. I guess it's kind of more of like a synchronicity.
Sure.
You might also start to notice more of that happening for you as well.
Now, when I was first doing research about Robert Monroe and all of the things that he was doing, somebody had mentioned that some of the people from the CIA actually used this training to become remote viewers. Is that an urban legend or is that really true?
No. You can actually, I can point you to the study online. Yeah. I've actually posted it to our Facebook page before and to my Twitter.
Great.
There was a Department of the Army study, I believe, that was based on attending the Gateway Voyage program at the Monroe Institute. And there was a 40-page study where this intelligence officer goes through the program in great detail and goes through, binaural beats in great detail and the possibility of remote viewing. It's a fascinating document. Mm-hmm. It's incredible that it was produced by the government.
That's another thing, too, for people who go, huh? I mean, there were basically people using this technology and then trying to find the bad guys in Afghanistan, if you will. Remote view the bad guys.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So there was an official Army intelligence program, and that is kind of separate from this study on Gateway that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But that Army intelligence program was known as Stargate.
Yes.
And so there have been various books written about that and even movies made about that.
Oh, yeah, Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yeah. Men Who Stare at Goats, which kind of treated it in sort of a farcical, not so serious way.
Right.
The government took it very seriously.
So for us to help the masses sort of get with the program, which is always my goal, and I don't want to try to inspire people through force. I want to do it just through, I'll have what he's having. Because when you see somebody and something's really working well for them, you kind of go, wow, well, look at that. But I'm finding, Garrett, and I wonder if you're finding this too, and Carolyn Mace put this so beautifully. She says, sometimes people don't want to get better because they can hang their hat on their wounds and they have this woundology where it's their monologue and it's their story. But for anyone who's looking to change their story, and I highly recommend it because the brain is so incredibly malleable, and the studies that show what the brain looks like after this kind of hemi-sync binaural beat technology, it just activates so many more parts of the brain. I mean, there are so many studies where intuitives and mediums are hooked up, and when they're in that zone where they're, doing their thing, their brains look a lot like what we see the hemi-sync brains look like, don't they?
You can hook someone up to an EEG or a neuromapper and actually see that it's having, a physical response in the electrocortical activity of the brain. That's definitely accurate. In terms of, how do we get more people to do it? Bob Monroe's marching orders were get it out there.
Yeah.
So we're very much, still trying to do that. When you look at the many problems that the world faces, some of which might seem like they're unsolvable or intractable, I think a lot of it comes out of this false sense or even kind of a delusion that, there's me and there's everybody else. There's me and there's the other, and the other is the enemy, which, must be defeated. Mm-hmm. I have kind of my own sets of beliefs and belief systems, which are usually founded on, who our parents were, who we associate with, what we do for a living, what our educational or economic background is, what our race is.
Yeah.
And so all this creates this illusion of, the self and the other. And it's really only through going into these expanded states of consciousness that I think we have any hope of bringing some kind of resolution to these conflicts. And so I think it's critically important for the world, for the future of humanity, that more people do this type of work. And, you know, it doesn't just have to be hemisync. You know, I think anyone who seriously takes inner work, you know, makes a contribution towards making the world a better place.
Yeah. You know, for so long, we didn't have all the distractions that we have now with this instant brain stimulation with our technology that prevents us from having a sustained thought. I mean, I just remember even movie trailers back in the 80s had longer shots and were, you know, less jarring to the nervous system than they are now. And so to get back to zero, right, to get back to that quiet state, I mean, I live now on a busy street. I don't even hear the cars outside anymore, but when I first moved there, I sure did. So it does take a choice and it does take work, right? But I always feel like if people are willing to go to the gym for an hour a day or even 5 hours a week, why can't you spend 8 minutes a day? It's like if we worked on our minds as much as we worked on our physical bodies, not to mention all the money and you mentioned Los Angeles. I mean, the money alone on cosmetic surgeries, that's just the outside people. What if we did this for the inside? What if you took 1 hour a day or 8 minutes a day? I gave my son an 8 minute meditation last night from the HemiSync from the Thunderbeat series, which was a gift from Marla Fries. And I love that. It goes through each chakra, right? And my son was feeling stressed and I didn't know which chakra to pick. So I just picked the root chakra. You know, let's start low. Start with one. Yeah. And so I put it on for him and he just sat there and I took it off when it was done. And he goes, "Wow, Mom." I said, "What?" He goes, "I really like that one." I said, "Why?" He goes, "Because nobody was telling me what to do." It's just sounds. It was sounds and percussion and tones, and it made his brain work and it calmed him down. And that was what it took. And so I highly recommend, like you say, Bob and Roe said, get the word out. Let's help others find that package that works for them, whatever it is. And I always tell people, when you look at something and it just pops off the screen, whether it's the art or the words on the CD cover, whatever it is, that's your choice. You know, go with the first instinct. That's your intuition. It's the bird that flies in front of your car windshield. That is what intuition is. A thought you don't expect, but that shows up rather quickly. So, and for you, Garrett, on your journey, how have things changed for you since you made this switch and now own the HemiSync and are out there full throttle trying to inform others of this technology?
Lot to go through there. But I'll take kind of that last piece first, I guess. So my background is really more in finance. So I studied finance as an undergrad. I worked on Wall Street for about 17 years as an investment banker and then at a hedge fund as an equity research analyst. And so my orientation is to be very left-brained, rational, analytical. And so it's a little unusual for someone like me to be involved in this arena to the extent that I am. But it's been, you know, a tremendous blessing for me. I really feel like I've been able to bring all of me to this endeavor. You know, it feels like it's right work for me. So, it's very tough, I think, for most people to find right work. And by that, I mean work that feels like it aligns, feeds, reinforces, builds off of, you know, all these various aspects of themselves, whether it's the mental, the emotional, the lifestyle. And so, you know, it's been great for me. That isn't to say that it's all been easy. I mean, there have been a lot of trials, you know, as there are with anything.
Right.
But no, personally, it's been great. Yeah. And then kind of going back to your story with your son, it sounds like you were talking about Chakra Journey, which is a popular meditation. I'm curious, how old is your son?
He's 12.
12, okay. That's a great age.
Yeah, he still likes me, which is cool.
Yeah, I have kids that are 10. They still like me too for now.
That's good. But are they on the meditation bandwagon too? Which do you recommend for them? And I want to then go through some recommendations for listeners out there of what you think would be helpful. Like you say, the chakra journey is the one that I'm hooked on now, but I'm looking for another one. I want to broaden my repertoire, if you will. So for children that are feeling anxious or having focus issues, which meditation do you recommend?
So if it's a focus issue, there's a whole range of exercises under the concentration section of the site.
Yep.
Some popular ones are remembrance. That's been shown to be very effective in treating ADD, ADHD. We generally recommend that you have one track or one exercise, rather, for each subject area that the child is studying.
Sure.
That way the brain fires and wires with that particular track, and they know how to make the shift when, you know, they switch from, say, math to English or foreign language or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
Remembrance is great. Baroque Garden, if you're into classical music. Indigo is one of my favorites.
Mm.
And then if the issue is more just trying to de-stress and relax, there's kind of a separate set of exercises for those. But, I think the one that you mentioned, Chakra Journey, is great. Loop 10 Relaxation, I think, is really good. But it's a very personal thing. So trial and error is kind of the way to go there.
And also, too, for expanding intuition. I mean, there's a whole, there are many categories on the website for that. From, you know, you talk about meeting your guides and, you know, replicating the bliss state of, like, you know, the other side, all of those things. I'm kind of generalizing here with the terms. But can you go through some of those for us, Garrett?
Yeah, I mean, there are a host of different application areas. So the one that you spoke about, meeting your guides, that is from the mediumship series. And so that is based on the work of Suzanne Giesman, who is a evidential psychic medium. She has, you know, also has a background that is very left-brained.
She was naval commander. Yeah.
You know, she was a naval commander. I think her exact title is escaping me, but she was a very senior role in the Navy at the time of September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a host of other categories as well, from, you know, reducing stress to self-improvement to spiritual growth to dreaming and sleeping better to, you know, various health issues stemming from hypertension to pregnancy, behavior modification, where maybe there's an unwanted behavior that is no longer serving you that you want to release, problem solving. We have stuff for spa and yoga environments.
Sure.
There's death and dying. It kind of goes on and on.
Right.
Suzanne's
been a guest on this program. No, absolutely. No, Suzanne's been a guest on this program, and I'm always truly amazed at her, people like Suzanne and her journey of being, like yourself, a left-brain person. Suzanne was not a medium. Like you said, she was a commander in the Navy. She was on Air Force One with Bush during 9/11. So this woman was very much not in the woo-woo camp at all.
Yeah,
and, you know, had a lot of tragic circumstances took place for her, and the loss of her daughter and all these things. Her daughter pregnant, struck by lightning. I mean, how awful. And through that grief, and this goes to what happens to the brain with extreme trauma. You know, when you're rattled, and I call it like that snow globe effect. It's like shaking the snow globe. When things get rattled, that is when either wonderful things can happen or horrible things can happen. Or wonderful things can happen after the horrible things happen. But the brain gets rattled in such a way that it's going to take some work to heal it and reconnect those neurons. And so what happened with Suzanne is she finds out that she's, you know, this incredible psychic medium. And now she's out teaching others, like, hey, this can happen to you.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a gentleman on this program I talk about quite frequently, Ken Wagner, who was just, you know, pitching a roof and was near a lightning strike, and that's what made him become a healer. So talk about the snow globe effect. When things like that happen, near-death experiences, a lot of guests on the show have had and found that they are highly intuitive after the fact. Now, you did not have a near-death experience or get struck by lightning, to my knowledge, Garrett.
No, you're making a fantastic point, Jen. There is often a, you know, crisis event, an event that can be viewed as tragic by, you know, maybe a person from the outside looking in, or even by the person experiencing it themselves, that creates a shift in who we take ourselves to be. And initially, and so in Suzanne's case, it was, you know, her daughter passing away. You mentioned a gentleman that was struck by lightning. In my case, it was the death of my father. Mm-hmm. But yeah, these events kind of shake us to the core and really cause us to question everything. And at first, it might create a feeling of, oh, man, I'm falling apart. But if you kind of allow it instead of resisting it, these situations can turn into tremendous blessings, you know, tremendous openings. They allow something new to emerge. I think you're right. You know, that is something that you see repeated in the lives of many people that have had, you know, some type of transformation happen.
Repressed memories are a big one as well. I have a friend who just recently came out, a gentleman who came out as a Me Too survivor. He was molested as a young child, mm-hmm. and had repressed mm-hmm. that memory from the age of 3 until, you know, decades later. And with the help of certain types of therapy and EMDR and all these other things to kind of rattle it out of his physical body and help his brain to heal, he was able to mm-hmm. work on that. What is it about our brain? I mean, you know more about the brain than I do, I think, with your connections with HemiSync. That, and I know you're not a neurologist, you're a finance guy, but still, this the whole knowledge that these things happen and then we put them away. And we don't want to go there, right? We don't want to look under the hood. But no. Then something reminds us of that feeling that maybe we felt during that trauma to reopen it again. And you are given an opportunity, I feel like, you, the listener. No. When that happens, you can choose to ignore it again, or you can go higher. You can evolve, and you can heal it. It doesn't mean sitting in it, dwelling in it. It means feeling it, acknowledging it, and moving through it.
Yeah. No, well, I think that last bit about going through it is the key. We all experience wounding, and it goes back, you know, into our childhood, our infancy. And my personal feeling is that we develop defenses around the various types of wounds that we experience. And these defenses actually become our personality. Our personality forms in response to some type of felt deficiency, inadequacy, or wounding. And as we get older, you know, if we don't choose to work on ourselves or, you know, go into these areas of inadequacy or deficiency or, you know, these wounds, those personality structures, that sense of who we are and what we take ourselves to be, it ossifies, it thickens. And so we become more and more set in our ways, less and less flexible as we go along. But, you know, to your point, if you go into those structures and work with them, they have a way of loosening. You know, I don't think your personality or, you know, I don't think it ever goes away entirely. But it can relax and loosen, and your experience can open up tremendously.
You know, I compare it to, like, if you're watching a sporting event and you really don't care about the team who wins, or, like, for me, it's watching soccer. You know, it's like, oh, look, there's mm-hmm. a bunch of guys running around again, and they're waiting for something to happen. That is how, if you've healed or rather worked on a wound, you can look at it with that sort of observation, and there's no reaction to it. It's not like your blood boils because the other guy scored. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the reaction to it is kind of everything, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's really important. You know, feeling is very beneficial. It can be kind of a signal as to, you know, what is actually happening with you. The emotional reaction is kind of when that feeling starts to go off the rails a little bit. You know, now we're going into reactivity, into defense. And that's different than the feeling. If you just kind of allow the feeling, it can be very opening, illuminating. If you go into reaction, emotion, negative emotion, then it can become very constrictive and narrowing. And so I think that's a great point, too.
Well, With the Monroe Institute and all the, you know, programming that's available, I know I would love to be able to take a week off and go down there and hang out and meditate all day, but it's hard for me. But there's a variety of programs. You've been through some of them yourself, yes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Tell me what that was like.
So, you know, it's obviously a great privilege to be able to take, you know, 6 days, five nights off to go into the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia and, you know, do hemisync exercises for that entire week and meet with great people and eat great food. And so, yeah, I mean, those can be experiences that you never forget. They can be transformative. But what we try to do at HemiSync is offer alternatives for folks that might not have the time to or the resources to go and do that.
Right.
And so we're trying to make these exercises more readily available, more convenient, and more affordable for folks that can't do that. And so to kind of further that goal, we're going to have an app. Well, there's already an app in the App Store and Google Play, but there will be kind of a full-blown version of that app with, you know, all of our stuff on it, ready to go hopefully in March.
March of 2019. So, okay.
Yeah.
Have you read the book, How to Change Your Mind, Michael Pollan's book that came out in 2018? Have you by chance gotten to read that?
I have not.
So it's fascinating, and I'm only the first third in, so I can't speak for the entire book, but Michael Pollan, most known for a lot of his food research and food books, he's a professor at Harvard, and he was tracking the technology behind and the psychology of treatment for depression, anxiety, addiction with psychedelics, right? And mushrooms and LSD and all that. And because the thinking was, and back in the 50s when they were doing this, they were replicating that blissful state, right? That heavenly, unbelievably spiritual awakening that a lot of people claim to have. And of course, in the 60s, LSD and shrooms, they all got a really bad rap because people were jumping off of buildings and going to Woodstock and such. But before all of that, this was a real tool that psychiatrists and MDs were using to help treat really traumatic cases, because once they replicated that blissful feeling, it actually, like people who've had near-death experiences, they come back forever altered, and they don't, and it rewires their brain and heals the trauma. So I encourage you to crack that book open if you feel like it, but it just kind of goes back to this whole thing about replicating bliss, right? Healing the trauma, healing the brain, and trying to find that feel good feeling without having to grab the Pinot Grigio.
I think that is a promising field of study, and I will definitely check out that book.
So for anybody moving forward that needs some baby steps to get started, you know, if they're driving in their car right now, Garrett, other than the meditation piece, what other life practices, what do you do every day? Give us three things that you do every day that you feel others might be able to try as well and see if they gain from it.
Well, let's see. I guess if I start with, waking up in the morning.
Yep.
The first thing I do when I wake up is I just sense my body. You know, I'm trying to kind of wake up in a way that is gentle, recognizing that this is kind of a state that is bridging two different types of consciousness, going from a sleeping state to a waking state. And so I'm just kind of scanning my body, sensing it, coming back into it, and trying to do it consciously. Second, you know, I do have a daily practice. Sometimes it involves using HemiSync. Sometimes it is just sitting on a cushion. Sometimes it involves like a moving exercise like Tai Chi or Qigong. But I try to do something every day. And then the third thing that I do is I'll try to do something to integrate my practice with my daily life. And so it's just kind of a constant reminder that either I'm more than my physical body, or that, I'm trying to bring mindfulness to my current situation. It can be as simple as, you know, wearing like a wristband or a bracelet.
Yeah.
It can be, you know, writing a symbol on your hand that just, or, you know, setting a timer on your phone that just causes you, when you look at it or you hear it, to just kind of take a breath.
Yes.
And so I think doing all of those things can really help to deepen and integrate. I encourage people to try it out.
That's fascinating. You know what else I've just started doing? Glenn Close was so inspiring at the Golden Globes recently. I don't know if you saw her speech, but she was thinking of her mother, who in her 80s just kind of reflected back that she didn't feel like she had accomplished much in her life.
Mm.
And so it was so inspiring. It's like, just do it. You know, my father, like you, that was very jarring for me when my father passed away from a brain tumor. He was only 56 years old. And as I, you know, now have passed 45 years old, I'm going, that's right around the corner, 56. It's right around the corner. And what have I not done? You know, we get so caught up. I remember I went to Europe for, you know, 21 years ago, and I vowed I was going to go every 5 years. Well, I haven't been back to Italy in 21 years. So, gosh, I'm going to lead a trip to Greece in May of 2019 because I want to do it. It's a bucket list thing. And what am I waiting for?
Yeah.
We have to do those things that inspire us, that really light us up. Within reason, of course. I'm not talking about abandoning all of your responsibilities and just, you know, getting on a cruise and going, but you can still pepper in those things that light your fire. You can be present, as you say, set an alarm to remind yourself to be present and breathe. And I love that first one, Garrett, of waking up with consciousness and just kind of checking in with your body, because I said just this morning, I have got to change my alarm tone because it is so awful. It's like, you know, that it's the first thing I hear, and it makes everything in my nervous system just go, ick. So I really want to change that because it takes me a while just to get back to center after hearing that awful tone. So we can do it, guys. Everybody out there listening, just do a few things to better the mojo and think of what's working right now instead of focusing on what's not. And as I like to say, if you have breath in your lungs and a beat in your heart, you're already in the plus column. So let's keep that going. The MonroeInstitute.org is a great resource, but also HEMI-SYNC.com. That's HemiSync.com. That's how you can find out more about the meditations we've been discussing. And Garrett, is there a way you would like the listeners to try to reach you?
You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Conscious News. So that's C-O-N. S-C-I-O-U-S N-O-U-S and you can like us on Facebook. Those are the two best ways. Or you can reach us via email, which is interstate@hemisync.com.
Perfect. Garrett Stevens, thank you for all that you do and for spending some time with us today on I'm Spiritual Dammit. I so appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Jen. Pleasure.
And everyone out there listening, please treat others the way you'd like to be treated. And stay spiritual, damn it. I'm Jen Weigel. We'll see you next time.